in Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Proverbs 10:4, 5, and 26. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armored man. Proverbs 24:30-34. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere, the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armored man. Proverbs 26:13-16, here's my favorite of all of these. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let us pray. O Lord, as we consider these proverbs now, I pray that they would speak to our very lives. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Throughout the years, there are a number of people who have observed the close relationship between wisdom and work. And I want to share a few of these with you. For instance, when Pope John Paul XXIII was asked how many people work in the Vatican, he responded by saying, "Well, about half of them." Wow, this is really slow this morning. I thought East Franklin was bad. Woo. All right, let's try again. Some of you have heard the words of the famous Vermont poet Robert Frost when he said this: "The reason why worry kills more people than work is that more people worry than work." A man by the name of Frank Tiger once said this: "Some people would do anything to be able to do nothing." You'll like this. A personnel manager rejected a job applicant because the firm was already overstaffed. But before he left, the would-be employee pleaded and said this: "The little bit of work that I would do wouldn't even be noticed." And needless to say, he did not get the job. And on an employee bulletin board one time, there was a sign that read this: "In case of fire, flee the building with the same reckless abandon that occurs every day at quitting time." A man by the name of Sam Levinson said this. This is on a little bit more serious note. Listen to what he says: "I learned from experience that if there was something lacking, it might turn up if I went after it, saved up for it, worked for it, but never if I just waited for it." That's good advice. William Weld once said, "The best preparation for work is not thinking about work, talking about work, or studying for work. It's work." A golfer, Gary Player, once said, "The harder you work, the luckier you get." I don't know if you golfers will agree or disagree with that, but I think that's true in life. And then finally, Bear Bryant, who was the legendary coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide football team, one reporter sarcastically asked Bryant if it was true that he could walk on water. And Bryant said, "Well, I won't say I can or can't, but if I do, I do it before most people will get up in the morning." Work is one of the chief marks of wisdom. And Israel's teachers never let their students forget it. Their doctrine of work was rooted in their doctrine of creation. For even God himself, the Bible tells us, worked hard for 6 days creating the earth, everything that we see around us. Working diligently, perpetuously, consistently. And then he rested on the seventh day. He knew that rest was important as well, but only after hard work. And so ever since God created the earth, he has instilled a command, an ethic in us called work. Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the garden, it was an easy place to work, but they still had to work. It was their job to tend the fruit of the garden. And it was only after sin entered the world that God came with a curse and said, "You had it easy, and now I'm going to make it tougher on you. From this day forward, you will sustain your life by the sweat of your brow. It will be difficult tilling the soil, tending the vines, looking after the livestock. But these are the tasks that sustain life. And therefore, God has called every person to work." We see it all through the Bible. Even in our call to worship this morning from the book of Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says, "If a man does not work, he doesn't eat." It's as simple as that. God puts a high priority on work. And he doesn't have a lot of time for laziness. As a matter of fact, the epitome of foolishness is laziness, so the Bible says. God's attitude toward work and laziness are certainly seen all over the Bible, but I don't think anywhere more clearly than the book of Proverbs. I've given you 6 that we're going to consider this morning, and I gave you a whole list of others at the bottom that you can look at on your own time this afternoon, sometime this week. But it's scattered throughout the whole book that God does not have much time for laziness. He does not respect it. And basically, if we were to look at all of these Proverbs together, it would have one essential message, and it's this: wise people work hard, but lazy people are foolish. That's all that this is trying to say. But let's take a little bit of a closer look at some of the Proverbs. Proverbs 14:23. This is as simple as it gets. "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads to poverty." Plain and simple, just like that. All hard work brings a profit. Now, remember, the book of Proverbs is statements of general truth. And so Solomon is observing life and says, this is the way things generally are. And it doesn't mean that everyone who works hard is going to become rich. Not going to happen. Most of you are hard workers and probably not rich. We know that by now. But it does bring a profit, doesn't it? Hard work, if we keep at it, we're consistent, there's a profit at the end of the day. And that's the way it should be. But he contrasts that and says, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Now think about it. Those who stand around and would rather talk about working than actually working typically don't add up to a whole lot. And so very simply put, hard work brings profit. Mere talk leads to poverty. Now, some of you have coworkers. Now, I know no one here would fall into this category, but coworkers that just like to ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch and don't really get a whole lot of work done. We all know people like that. Hopefully it's none of us here. But let me just ask you anyway. Are you the type of person who really works? Or the type that just likes to talk about work? Do you actually study in your study halls? Or do you like to sit around and talk to your friends? Are you the one digging the ditch? Or are you the one standing around in the circle talking to the other guys holding your shovel? One of my best friends works for the transportation department in Pennsylvania, and I tell him all the time, so yeah, all you ever do is stand around and hold your shovel while everyone else works. And he says, yeah, well, you only work one day a week anyway. So we have our little banter back and forth, which is fair enough. You get the point from Proverbs 14:23. Proverbs 12:11 is very similar, but it uses agricultural language, which is what virtually every Israelite was involved in back in those days. It says, he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Boy, isn't that the truth? Those who work their land, who till the soil, who plant the seed, who harvest at harvest time, they have food on their tables, food to eat. But those who chase fantasies, who are always talking about big dreams and visions and doing this and doing that and never really do anything, they lack judgment. They don't amount to anything in the end. Since I have a four-year-old daughter now, I've been introduced to the world of Disney. I probably never would have known about this world unless I have a little girl that's fascinated with everything princesses. And so just before Christmas, we took a family outing and went and saw Disney's new film, The Princess and the Frog. And I have to be honest with you, it was a sacrifice for me. There, I could have named five other movies I would have rather gone to see. But this is what we were going to do, so I took one for the team. And typically, I hate Disney. It's all this wishy-washy, if you wish upon a star, all your dreams are going to come true. Are you kidding me? But I went. But I was pleasantly surprised with The Princess and the Frog. I think Disney finally got it right. It's a story about a little girl named Tiana who grows up in New Orleans. And the film starts off by showing her and her father, a very hard-working, low-class family, making a big pot of shrimp gumbo. I started to get hungry even when I was watching the film. And they make this wonderful pot of gumbo, and it's so good that the whole community comes and they eat it together. And Tiana and her dad have this dream that someday when she grows up, they want to own their own restaurant. They have a place all picked out. It's going to be called Tiana's Place. And as the film goes on, Tiana's father dies unexpectedly, and so his dream is lost. But she carries on that dream, and she finds out the hard way that success does not come by wishing on a star. Success comes through hard work. And by the end, she learns that lesson of hard work and is able to open her own restaurant. For years, Disney expressed in song, "When you wish upon a star, anything your heart desires will come to you." What a terrible lesson to teach our kids. But this film showed something much better than the others, that the dream is only half the battle, but the real magic comes with hard work day in and day out. And that's how our dreams can come true. That's what the book of Proverbs says here in 12:11. He who works the land has abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Let's move on. Proverbs 10. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Basically saying the same thing that the previous two said. And then I love this line here. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. Good imagery here. As vinegar to the teeth. Can you think of anything more unpleasant than that? Vinegar on the teeth. Just that distasteful, annoying, unpleasant. I just think about having a mouthful of vinegar and it makes me sick already. Likewise, smoke to the eyes. Contrary to what I tell everyone, that smoke is always attracted to my beauty, that's really not the case. The smoke just burns the eyes. We want to get up and leave and walk away, move somewhere else. It's unpleasant. It's annoying. And so it is with someone who is lazy. The sluggard who doesn't do any work is annoying, frustrating, difficult, unpleasant to everybody around them. Have you ever worked in a job where your job depended on someone else getting their job done? And when they would procrastinate and wait and not do it, it affected you and everybody else? Now, that's what this proverb is getting at. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. You get what he's saying. Proverbs 6. Here's where Solomon gets a little bit sarcastic, and we're going to see this progressively right on through the rest of these Proverbs. If you are a sarcastic personality, you're going to love these. He uses an imperative command. He says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." How humorous is that? You think about a little ant crawling on your finger. How big is an ant's brain? Well, maybe the size of a head of a pin. It's so small, so insignificant. And yet Solomon says, if you want to learn something about work, go watch the ant. Even with such a small brain, he inherently knows, even though he has no commander, no overseer, no mom to tell him what to do, to pick up after himself, to store things away, to save. He doesn't have any of that. But he knows that if he doesn't store up provisions, that he will die. Yet he stores his provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. If an ant knows not to be lazy, how much more should humans understand this? But Solomon says to the sluggard, go watch the ant. Learn something from that little brain, is what he's getting at. Then he uses these rhetorical questions. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? And when will you get up from your sleep? You can just hear that sarcasm dripping from his mouth. How long are you going to lie there? Now, some of us can hear our moms echoing that in the background from when we were kids. Get up, pick up those socks off the floor, put your underwear in the dirty clothes, wash those dishes. Don't just stand there, do something. I can't tell you how many times I heard that growing up. I think at least to some extent it's paid off. And then we have this famous proverb at the end, verse 11 of chapter 6. After all of this that Solomon does, he quotes this famous one from the perspective of the sluggard. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armored man. How many times have you heard a lazy person say, well, I just need to take a little rest, just a little nap and then I'll be good. And then hours later they wake up, and the time that would have been used for work is long gone. And poverty comes on like a bandit. Just like someone who comes back to their house and finds that they have nothing, they've been stolen from. It's the same thing when we're lazy. We wind up with nothing in the end. Proverbs 6 is such a wonderful example of laziness. We think of ants and all the hard work that they do. Can we do better than them? I hope so. Let's move on to Proverbs 24. I went past a field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment. The thorns had come up everywhere, and the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. So picture someone walking by a farm, and all they see is weeds in the field, the stone wall is broken down, everything's in disrepair, disarray. And you think about that lazy farmer who did not take care of his land. And then Solomon says this, I applied to my heart what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. Here's the lesson. It sounds very familiar. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you. The same thing that we heard before. Laziness drains all of a person's resources and leaves them destitute, just like they have been robbed. Vivid imagery of a farm that was in perfectly fine shape that had just been left to waste and no use. How sad. And finally, let's end on Proverbs 26. Like I said, this is my favorite of all. Because look at these outrageous excuses that people give for not working. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. Basically what the sluggard is saying here is, sorry honey, I can't go to work today because when I leave the house there might be a lion outside waiting and pounce on me and kill me. How ridiculous is that? But I've heard people give even crazier ones than that, reasons for not working. Now, you need to know that once in a while, there was a lion spotted in ancient Palestine. They did exist there, although they were extremely rare. It would be like someone here in Vermont saying, "Sorry, honey, I cannot take out the trash because what if there's a catamount right out in the weeds? It's going to jump up and kill me." Now, here in Vermont, catamounts are kind of an interesting thing. Some people say that they have seen them, they've been spotted. Others say, no, they've been long gone for years. Who knows for sure, unless you say that you've seen one. But even if they are here, they're so rare, no one ever sees them. It'd be like us saying, well, I'm so afraid of this that I guess I can't work. I had a friend back in college. I wish you could have met him. One of the strangest people you could ever meet. His name was Josh. He was from Minnesota. Not that I have anything against people from Minnesota. He was a strange bird. And one day, I walked in on a conversation that he was having with a number of other guys. And they would come up with these crazy things. And he was talking about when he got married, he was going to sit around his house naked all the time. That's just what he wanted to do. And he was explaining the benefits of nakedness. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, if my wife says, hey, Josh, can you take out the trash? And he said, sorry, can't. I'm naked. I can't do anything because I'm always naked. And so people have crazy ideas to get them out of work. For instance, there was a new sign painted on an apartment building that read, speed limit, 11 miles an hour. And so Ralph spotted the groundskeeper and asked him, he said, hey, how come 11 miles an hour, not 10? And the man replied and said, well, 11's a lot easier to paint than 10. How lazy can you possibly be? Well, the second proverb here is just as bad as the first, the lion roaming in the streets. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. What he's getting at here is, you know how a door hangs on its hinges? It moves, but it never really goes anywhere. And that's what he's saying with lazy people. Yeah, they might move, but they never really do anything. Someone laying in bed, they might roll around a little bit, but they don't go anywhere. And so that's what he's getting at. Someone's so lazy that they're like hinges. They don't do anything. And then finally, here's my favorite one of all. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Now, you just think about your bowl of cereal in the morning, that you put your bowl in the, or the spoon in the cereal, and you're so lazy that you can't even bring it back to your mouth. How lazy is that? Oh, I would eat it, but I just can't bring myself to get it the whole way up to my mouth. Are you kidding me? And then he ends by saying, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Isn't it interesting how lazy people always have a good excuse for why they don't work? They're so wise. We have it all figured out. How many ridiculous excuses can be given? It reminds me of the story I heard of an old mountaineer who was sitting by the fireplace with his wife one evening, relaxing, feet propped up, and his wife heard ting, 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 and she said, oh, honey, I think it's raining. Would you mind going outside and check? And old Jed sat there and he says, ah, Ma, why don't you just call in the dog and see if he's wet so I don't have to get up and go look for myself. Well, I think you get it. All these proverbs are essentially saying the same thing, and it's this. Wise people work hard, but foolish people are lazy. And so let me ask you this morning, which one are you, wise or foolish? Do you work hard? Or do you expect someone else to do it for you? Are you willing to start at the bottom and work your way up through? Or do you want someone to come along and just give you a handout? I don't know about you, but it seems to me that we live in a culture of entitlement today, particularly with our young people. So many I talk to say, well, I don't really want to work. I just want someone else to take care of me. And I hear excuses all the time, people saying, well, I'm just going to wait for my fantasy job to fall into my lap, and I'm not going to do anything until that happens. Really? Is that what God wants us to do? I don't think so. God makes his attitude toward laziness very clear in these Proverbs. I hear people say, well, my family will take care of me. I'm okay, I don't have to work. Or the government will take care of me. Why work when they'll do it for me? No Christian should ever say that. I hear others say, and this is all the time these days, well, I just can't find a job because of the economy. Really? Really? What they really mean by that is, I can't find a job worthy of me, is what they're saying. Because there are jobs if people are willing to work. I'm astounded that people say today, well, I won't milk cows, or I won't scrub toilets, or I won't flip hamburgers. That's beneath me. Really? Hear it all the time. Laziness leads to poverty. We live in a culture of it. So how are we doing this morning? Let me close by sharing with you an article that someone had given to me a number of months ago. It's entitled this, Dumbing Down Our Kids: Why American Children Feel Good About Themselves But Can't Read, Write, or Add. Okay, 11 rules here. This was written back in 1996, so it's a little dated, but listen to these rules. Rule number one for kids: life is not fair, so get used to it. That's just a good, simple rule, right? Rule number two: the world won't care about your self-esteem. The world will expect you to accomplish something before you feel good about yourself. Rule number three: you will not make $60,000 a year out of high school. Not going to happen. Rule number four: if you think your teacher is tough, just wait until you get a boss. Rule number five, this is my favorite of all of these: flipping burgers is not beneath your dignity. Your parents had a different word for burger flipping. They called it opportunity. Rule number six: if you mess up, it's not your parents' fault, so don't whine about your mistakes. Learn from them. Rule number seven: before you were born, your parents weren't as boring as they are now. They got that way from paying your bills, cleaning your clothes, and listening to you talk about how cool you are. So before you save the rainforest from parasites of your parents' generation, try de-lousing the closet in your own bedroom first. Rule number eight: your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not. In some schools, they have abolished failing grades because they give you as many times as you want to get the right answer. That doesn't bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life. Rule number nine: life is not divided into semesters. You don't get summers off, and very few employees are interested in helping you find yourself. Do that on your own time. And rule number 10, television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave the coffee shop and go to their jobs. And number 11, this is good advice here: be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll be working for one someday. All that to say this: wise people work hard. Foolish people are lazy. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for these Proverbs that speak to the real issues of our lives. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone among us who struggles with laziness, that you would convict our hearts. And Lord, for all of us, that you would help us to work in the way that you want us to. Not that we become workaholics or consumed by it, that we neglect family and other important things, but that we work hard every day. And that whatever we do it for you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.